Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to The Fighter Versus The Writer. I'm your host, as always, Damon Martin, and today I am back for a special holiday edition of the show with a couple of interviews that dropped on video last week but not on the podcast, and since they're both pretty big interviews, I figured why not do it here, as well as the fact that beyond the holiday, last week with UFC 276, a lot of things got lost in the mix. One of which, of course, is my first interview, which was with the great Joanna Jędrzejczyk in her first interview after announcing her retirement from mixed martial arts at UFC 275 following her fight and rematch with Zhang Weili. I was the first to have a chance to talk with Joanna about her decision, what led to that decision, her future, the chance of her going in the UFC Hall of Fame, and so much more. So if you haven't had a chance to check out the video, here is the podcast version of my conversation with the newly retired and, I believe, future UFC Hall of Famer, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She is the greatest strawweight in the history of the sport, and I am always happy to speak to the great Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna, how are you?
Hey, Damon. I'm good, happy, preparing for my next trip. Keep on busy as always. So, so far, so good.
Yeah,
I still need to get to the retirement feeling, you know.
Yeah, I saw you took a nice vacation after the fight. So was it good to just relax and kind of just, you know, step away for a minute and just, you know, enjoy a beach and not think about fighting for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, actually, I haven't had the time to think about what happened 3 weeks ago. And that's the thing. But I feel like I will need to sit and think about everything. About my legacy in general. But yeah, I had so much fun. You know, last few months were pretty busy and tough for me, physically and mentally. But yeah, it was good to take some time off after the fight. I had a blast in Thailand. I supposed to go to Bali, but I ended up going to Thailand, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me backtrack you on. Of course, we talked before the fight. You know, I know you spent months preparing and you put so much of yourself into your fights. And of course, afterwards, as we all know, you announced your retirement from the sport. Can I ask, like, going into the fight, was there a thought in the back of your head that retirement, you know, was coming? Like, can you kind of give me a sense of, like, how it came about? Like, was it in the moment you just decided? Was it something you had thought about going into the fight? Like, can you kind of give me an idea, like, how that happened?
Man, I'm not gonna lie. Like I was going to win, you know, and I was in my best shape ever. But like I said, so many weeks before the fight, and even a few days before the fight, during media, that anything can happen, and it happened, you know, and it happened to me that I went down. But before the fight, like during the camp, I had this moment that I was thinking about it, you know. I was thinking about that if something happened, I would retire, and it happened, you know. But of course, I was ready and motivated to win the fight and continue doing this. You know, I just signed a new deal with the UFC, good money, good exposure, and everything. But you know, it happened. It just happened.
Yeah,
so put... it was momentum. It was momentum because of what happened in the fight. You know, if I lost on points, I could like see it and think about. But I don't want to waste my health, and that's the thing. That was the main thing. You know, that I don't want to keep on losing myself because of what I'm doing. You know. What I mean?
Well, you're dangerous.
You know, I feel great. I feel great. Nothing happened to me. Thanks God. But somehow it's hard. You know, it's hard.
Well, you told me that. I mean, going out of the first fight with Zhang, you know, how much damage you take, and you said, you know, the damage you put on your body in a fight, not to mention what you do during a training camp, takes a lot out of you, and your health is what's most important, right? Like, that has to matter because you have to live far beyond fighting, right? Like, you can't do so much damage that you can't live a normal life after fighting. So I know health has been a big part, and I imagine that's a big part in walking away on your own terms, right? Like, walking away when you want to walk away, because we've heard these, I'm sure you've heard these stories, fighters say all the time, I want to walk away, I don't want the sport to retire me, I don't want to walk away because I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always wanted to retire on my rules, and I don't want to be this, you know, like this gatekeeper, you say. Yeah, I don't want to be this legend who is going to fight forever and get beat up, you know. That's the thing, and I accept where I am at, you know, what my age is, you know. The craziest thing about it is that it was the best camp in my life, and I was in the best shape ever, strong physically, mentally, stronger physically, mentally than before. And that's the craziest thing, because I'm still having so much love for this sport, and I don't want to leave, but somehow I have to take care of myself, you know. And because of I'm a woman, it's different with the guys. Of course, nobody deserves like concussions, but it's kind of tough sport. We picked this sport, we chose to be, you know, I chose to be a fighter, and we have to pay the price. But sometimes you have to be smart enough to say enough, you know, to protect yourself for the future. And that's the thing, you know, it's hard. I'm still digesting my decision, but isn't easy, you know.
Yeah,
but
no,
somehow
absolutely.
I'm happy.
Yeah. Can I ask? I think from what you said earlier, have you had a chance?
Especially at this level, you know, especially at this level, because I was always competing with the best. I was always competing at the highest level, and that's the problem. No, there is no easy fights in the UFC. But I feel like I'm always very into, you know, and some people, they loved my stare downs and the way I was before the fights and in the fights, but I'm very into everything I do in my life. And fighting was one of these things, you know. I was always 100% into physically and mentally and emotionally as well. And yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. Did you, I think you said, I just would make sure, have you had a chance to actually go back and rewatch the fight?
No, not yet. Not yet. I have to do it, and I have to, but yeah.
Is it one of those crazy things? Because I actually spoke to Matt Brown. I'm sure you know Matt, you know, from the UFC, and he had kind of walked me through the fight itself. And he said it was one of those kind of crazy. It's one of those crazy things. You did everything right, and then you just got caught. Like, I know I'm not trying to take anything away from Zhang and her performance, because she did an incredible job. But he said you did everything right in that moment. She just caught you. Like, that's literally what happened. Yeah. Is that just the brutal? That's just the brutal nature of the sport, though, right? Like, it's just that one moment, and it just happened.
It is, and this thing, and I'm glad we are talking about, because this is what makes me think about fighting more, you know, because I got cut, and this sport is brutal and beautiful in the same time. But I didn't see, and you know what's funny? This knockout felt like one of the cartoons knockout, you know, when you are like out, but you still still processing. And that was the funny thing, because when I was going down, 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 I was like kind of sober, but when I saw the highlight, I was not sober. You know what I mean? I was out. But the funny thing is like, okay, you were knocked out, like fall, like go down. That's the funniest thing. Like, but then I was like, I had this in my, what happened? What happened? What happened? You know, how? So, and I got cut, you know, that's the thing. This is what I mean, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, I got cut. Yeah. I didn't see this punch. I couldn't see because I cut the ankle. I switched the position, and she came with the back fist, you know, or spinning elbow or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, Damon. It's hard.
No, I totally understand. And because in that moment, you know, we hear, you know, I mean, it's so hard to process in that moment, you know, what you're going through, and in the aftermath, you know, announcing your retirement, because. In that moment, even I was shocked. Like, I know you said to me many times, you know, you have a future outside of the sport. You have businesses. You want to start a family. Yeah. You have all these things going on. But even in that moment, I was still kind of surprised. I was like, just because I know what a warrior you are. I know, like, how much you love the sport, how much you put into the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Even this morning, I met my friend, my best friend. I haven't seen her for a while. Because of I was outside Poland, and I was telling her these stories, and that's the craziest thing, you know, because I was really planning to fight more often, to be back to fighting more often as I used to, maybe not as I used to, but more often, at least twice a year. But because of the way I felt, and I said that at the beginning of this interview, you know, and it was surprising what happened to all of us, to me and to all of us. But like I said, there is the other side of this sport who fighters know only about is the health side, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't wanna cross this line, you know, in my life and be like, and have these concussions or some health problems, issues. Okay, I can make more money, I can get more exposure, but I can't buy health, you know. I will be not able to buy extra health, like in the game, you know, or extra life, you know. That's the thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't.
And I can't go easy, you know. I can't go easy. If I go, I go 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I think 120% is Joanna. I don't think you go 100%. I think you go 120%. So, but you can't put a value on your health, right? Like, they can't say, well, you know, here's $1 million. Well, that's still not worth, you know, years from now when you're dealing with health issues or brain health. I mean, these are things you have to think about. There's no value for that, right? Like, there's no value you can put on that. You have to take care of your body. You have to take care of your mind.
And I'm meeting more and more, you know, we are just getting older. And I see all of my friends, teammates, fighters. And it's just scary, you know. It's just scary as hell, you know.
Yeah.
That we can get all this damage, you know.
Yeah. You are a kind of a rare instance in the sport, Joanna, where you have a lot of things going on outside of fighting. We talked during the time when you were off, you know, all the things you're doing in Poland, the endorsements, all the different businesses you're running, all the different things you're doing that, you know, away from fighting. But I also know how much you love fighting. But I have to ask the question because, you know, I do know how much you love fighting. I do know how much you love training and working with fighters, things like that. Are you solid in this decision? Will there be a comeback for Joanna? Can you solidly say, you know, realistically you are done and that's it? You know, your fighting career is behind you. You'll still be involved with fighting, but fighting itself is done.
It is. For now, it is. It's hard. I feel like the conversation isn't as fun as always with you because you are my favorite. You know, I don't know. I always promise myself if I leave the sport, I will leave it for forever, you know, and it's hard, but, you know, like, but sometimes I wake up and in the morning I'm like, no, I would love to be back. Why am I doing this? You know, That's a hard part. For now, I'm done. I'm very happy. I'm flying to Vegas tomorrow. I hope I will sit and talk to Dana and then Lambert as well. I'm really looking forward to see all of them and sit and talk to them and maybe talk about the future a little bit. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But I feel that I need to stick to my decision. I need to stick to my decision because there is so many things which are making me going more into this sport and even keep on fighting. But like I said, health is the most important.
Absolutely.
I'm not having any issues. Like I'm hiding some, you know, I'm not having any issues, you know. I have to do some CT or MRI scan one more time after the fight for myself to check. Because I wanna be 100% sure that I'm good because lately I'm having lots of headache, but maybe there's still a bruise, you know, and that's the thing. But these things make me think about that I made the right decision, you know. So yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know that you do have a million. You said something at the post fight press conference. You said you had bought an apartment, and you said you never even actually stay there because you're so busy. You never. Oh, but like, that's like I, like in a weird like I'm weirdly happy for you, Ioana, because I know how much you put of yourself into fighting. Again, I always bring up, of course, when I came down to American Top Team. Like, I know how much you like just a day off. Like it's kind of crazy. Like just a day off. Like being able to relax a little bit. Like I'm actually happy for you that you can actually do that. Because you do have, beyond fighting, you do have a million other things going on. But is it nice just to relax for a minute, just to actually have a day off?
The last 6 months, I spent maybe 8 or 10 nights at my in my house. I moved to this house 2 years ago. And this year, I spent 10 nights on me. So I'm happy to be here. Falling asleep and waking up in my bed. And I'm trying to be smart with my money, invest my money in real estate. But yeah, there are places I've never seen. There's this nice apartment at the Baltic Sea area. I slept two nights only. That's the craziest thing. So I really want to sit and like be with myself and realize, like, really physically realize how much I approach, you know, how big my legacy is because of UFC, you know, because I'm not gonna lie, they have changed my life, you know.
Yeah. You probably heard, or maybe you didn't, I don't know, but you know, somebody asked Dana White about, you know, you're going into the Hall of Fame, and he said, yeah, of course you're going in the Hall of Fame at some point. You've done so much, and you mentioned your legacy is so big. I'm curious, because I hear different things. I know, you know, talking to Daniel Cormier, who's going in the Hall of Fame this weekend, it means a lot to him, the work he put in, and to be appreciated like that. Like, I know it means a lot. Can I imagine that will mean, like, when that moment comes, it will be a moment of pride for you when you do go in the UFC Hall of Fame?
I will be crying because I will realize that I'm old, man. You know, I remember my UFC debut, and that time I was like, wow, this guy is a legend. Chuck Liddell, there was a time they compare me, like, to Chuck Liddell, that he was the Iceman and I was the Ice Woman, and it was so funny, you know. And I was meeting all these legends, and I was like, "Yeah, I wanna be like them one day," you know. And it's happening, but yeah, it's so nice, you know. I can't believe, because, like, I always say this, you know. Maybe I'm grown woman now, but I always feel like this JJ from the hood who just started, you know, who just started, or who is just starting. And that's the thing. But it will mean the world to me if I will become the UFC Hall of Famer, you know.
Yeah.
It's great, because I know that there is so many athletes, so many fighters in the UFC, but the Hall of Fame league or wall is very, very short, you know, very short.
Yeah.
So it would be an honor.
Yeah. You know, in some way, the impact you've had on the sport and the impact you've had on other fighters. Maybe you heard right after her fight, you know, Karolina Kovalkiewicz said that if it wasn't for you, you know, she may not be fighting now. You know, when you invited her to come to American Top Team and train with you, and she basically paid you credit for that. And I know post-fight you mentioned, of course, I know you have an incredible team around you, Jennifer Goldstein, who's one of the best managers in the entire sport, but you mentioned maybe getting into MMA management, maybe getting into that side of the sport. Is that something that does interest you, getting into the business side of the sport, you know, for yourself?
Very much, very much. I'm very grateful and thankful for all the people I've met in my life, personal life and fighting life and like business life. And I took so many lessons. I had very good, lots of bad and good experiences, but I want to be one of these managers who is going to take care of an athlete, you know, of the fighter, because of they should be always upfront, you know, the managers should think about the fighters as first priority, but very often it's a business, you know, and this is what I hate about it. So definitely I will try to do another studies or some seminars, get some lessons, get some advices, and I would love to be a manager in the future.
Yeah. I mentioned, of course, your legacy also extends into your home country in Poland. I'm sure you've seen, of course, one of your teammates. You just saw Matusz Gamrot get a big win this past weekend. Yeah. You look at Jan Blachowicz, you look at all the people, like when you did retire, like that was all the fighters came out from Poland. Of all the people paying tribute to you, and it's been a lot, like how much does it mean the legacy you built of Polish MMA? Because you have become the face of Polish MMA, and we've seen now, you know, again, Jan Blachowicz becomes a champion. Matusz Gamrot may be a champion. Like you were kind of the trendsetter with that for your home country. I know that means a lot to you.
Oh yeah, I'm just very happy. I'm not the pioneer of MMA in Poland, but definitely I was working really hard to put Polish MMA on the map worldwide. I mean, and I'm very happy. You know what's the funniest thing, that people like all the people I meet, I see on the streets, they are like stopping by, like shaking my hand. They go crazy and they are like, wow, tons of respect for what you have done, and I get more attention even now than I was getting before, you know. And this is kind of nice, and it's surprising at the same time, you know, because somehow when I was competing, maybe they were shy or I don't know, but now they are like more open-minded, you know, and they're like, oh, we've been watching, we watch your fight, we watch your like we watch the press conference, everything you have said, you said at the press conference or after the fight, your post fight speech, and they're like, wow, tons of respect. But I don't know why they giving me all this credit for what I said, you know, after the fight. I don't understand this. Of course, I'm very happy and I'm very thankful, but somehow, like, I mean, I think that everything I approach, like, I mean, the wins, the belt, the title defenses should be more valuable.
Yeah.
How you say this?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, valuable.
The retirement, you know, but somehow, I don't know.
It's nice. You said something after the fight that you know makes me like realize what kind of person you are, because somebody asked you like your favorite moment of your career, favorite thing you did, and you could have said, you know, winning the title, defending the title, a knockout when you knocked out Jessica Penne, or whatever the thing you could have done. You said the thing you were most proud of was that you kept going. You know, there was a moment when you said, I could have walked away, I wasn't making money, I wasn't getting fights, and I could have just gave up and just walked away from the sport, and I kept going. Mm-hmm. And you kind of said, you know, the motivation to other people is don't give up, you know, keep going. That's what you were proudest of. Yeah. I think that defines you, Joanna. Not that you need my accolades, but I think that's what defines you, is that, you know, when you think about the career, all the things you've done, all the achievements you've had in your career, that's what you were proudest of. And I love that about you, because you could have said, oh, it was winning the belt, or it was beating this fighter, winning this fighter, you know, whatever it was, fighting in front of, you know, 70,000 people, whatever it was in Australia, whatever it was. But you said that your proudest moments, you kept going. And that's inspirational, because there's a lot of people who are going to look at that and say, yeah, I can do it. I can keep doing whatever it is, whether it's fighting or otherwise, but you keep going. That's a big statement.
I know that I was the chosen one, you know, and but yeah, I'm still the same JJ from the Hood. That's the thing, you know. That's the thing. For me, it's still somehow normal, you know. But I'm very proud of myself that I didn't give up, and I never give up, you know. And that's a good thing. And I want people to know and realize that everything is up to them, you know, and they can change their lives. Sometimes it takes time, but they can do it. I can do it. They can do it. We all can do it, you know, and it's just easy. Very often we look for some special people, et cetera, motivation, but it's all here, you know, and how much you want to be alive. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you mentioned, you know, we when we talk, we always have fun talk and we have good interviews. Of course, we're talking. Here's the thing. I know we're talking about retirement for you, Joanna, but like in a weird way, like I'm happy for you. I'm happy because I know you have a million other things you want to do. So I'm going to bring up one thing I know you want
to
do.
Good to hear, you know. So that's good to hear that there are people who knows that who really JJ is, you know, that I'm just a woman, not a girl anymore, you know, with so many things going on, so many hobbies, passions, you know, things I want to be dedicated, you know, and I want to do. That's the good thing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So now here's my question, Joanna. We know Joanna the fighter, Joanna the businesswoman. When are we going to see Joanna the race car driver? Because you said when fighting is done, you're going to start racing more. So are we going to start seeing Joanna racing more?
That's a good thing, because actually after I will be back from Vegas next week, I have a meeting with my racing team. So I will try to do some training, more training in July, and maybe I will do my another race very soon, next month or in 2 months. And I'm really thinking very seriously about going into motorsport, and I just can't wait, you know. And I'm very happy that my sponsors, they don't have to leave me, because I feel like, of course, I will stick into the sport forever, but I feel like I will give them another possibilities to go together as a family, you know, to go big with the endorsement. And that's a good thing. And I'm very happy about, you know, to build my brand and keep on extending the brand. But I can't wait, man. I can't wait to drive these fast cars and go nuts.
Yeah,
go nuts like I used to in the cage.
Absolutely. It's crazy, yeah. Because I was joking earlier. I said, you know, is it going to be nice just to have a day off? Here's the thing, Joanna. I know you well enough to know there's not really a day off. You still have a million things going on, and you're busier than ever. So while fighting may be, you know, done with you in terms of actually fighting, you're still going to be incredibly busy. You have a million things going on, so you're still going to be just as busy as ever. And I'm sure you're excited starting businesses and doing the different things you're going to be doing.
You know, like 2 months ago, I opened my labs supplement company, and actually it's my child, and I really want to put more energy into, because I have an amazing business partners and it's my brand. People think that it's another sponsor. No, it's my brand, and I really need to pay more attention to keep on extending this brand, bringing outside Poland as well, bring it out of Poland. Outside Poland, but I'm, you know, I just can't wait, and it's my new motivation to do even more, you know, to work really hard like I used to work on the mat, you know, or in the gym.
Yeah.
But there's more and more things. Finally, I got the final paperwork because I opened my foundation, but I can go all in right now, you know, because I have all the paperwork done. So I'm good. I can't wait to help these young kids and teenagers.
Oh,
well.
Great! Can you tell me a little bit more about the foundation?
So I was thinking about, since I remember, but finally, my foundation, JJ Stars Foundation, is registered, and I want to help young kids and teenagers, not only fighters, but talented kids who are talented, who wants to work hard, who are dedicated, but sometimes they don't have a chance to go outside, you know what I mean? Go further, look at the big picture, and I want to teach them all of this, and I want to show them that they can do it, that they can go from nothing to something, not from zero to hero, but from nothing to something. Because I was training in the garage of my parents after 2 years of training, after I left my first gym, because the coach was stealing money from us, you know? So in that time I could say, okay, it's enough, you know, it's just stupid. It's just silly that you keep on training in the garage. But that time I knew that I was going to do big things, you know, and I want to help these kids. And this is what I have said so many times. Doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your religion is, gender, and you can go big, you know, but you need to work hard. And I wanna donate some money to the foundation. I wanna do so many. I want to motivate these kids, make them more active, and teach them about health, healthy lifestyle, and maybe even donate some monthly money to support them, you know, to support their careers, support the young athletes, musicians, kids with artistic talent. How you say, artistic talents, and all of these types, you know, because it doesn't matter if you want to be an athlete, a successful athlete, or a physician, or a singer, or painter. You have to be disciplined, you have to work hard, and you have to believe in yourself. It's us and first. So I want to help them.
Absolutely. And again, you're still going to be around fighting. I know you're never going to be not around fighting. You mentioned getting into management. Of course, you are an incredible ambassador to the sport. I'm sure you're going to continue to do that. I'm sure you're still going to come over and visit your team over at American Top Team, Mikey Brown, all those guys. So you're still very much going to be involved with the sport, even if you're not fighting. You got a million things going on in the fight business as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's sad that after a few years I had to leave American Top Team, but definitely I will be back, because Dan Lambert is like father to me, you know. He's amazing, you know. He doesn't have to do all of he's doing for us, all of us, and he's just amazing. Richie, Primo, all of the coaches, but definitely I have left so many friends, teammates in the gym, and definitely I feel like I will be back there, you know, to help them prepare. I will try to support them as much as I can, because they are my family.
Yeah, absolutely. Joanna, I know you said at the start, you know, you really haven't had a chance to sit back and like think about how big your legacy is. But let me tell you, as someone who has covered your career, and I would say gotten to know you over the years, I think what you've done in this sport is incredible. You are a pioneer. You are a legend. You are a Hall of Famer. You're amazing. And here's the thing, Joanna. I told your manager this right after the fight. I said, you're retired from fighting, but so you're not getting rid of me. I'm sorry. You're not getting, like, you're still going to have to come back and do interviews. You're not getting rid of me. I'm sorry.
I'm very happy. I'm happy. And I really feel like, you know, this conversation is hard to me, because I have so much love to you, and I always love talking to you, and you deliver the truth, you deliver like nice topics, and you deliver the truth to people, you know. You show them who we really are outside the octagon, outside the cage, and I really love it about you. And but yeah but it's very emotional for me. It's hard, you know. Even sometimes I feel like I can't speak properly, you know, because but definitely I'm looking forward to talk to you even more.
Yeah, well, I look forward to talking to you about the race. I'm excited for this race car thing. I want to see the racing, Joanna, so I'm very excited for that for the future, and everything else you have going on. I know you're going to be busier than ever, and I always appreciated that you've given me the time over the years, and like I said, unfortunately, you're stuck with me. You're not getting rid of me, but thank you so much for the time, Joanna. I really do appreciate it. Unfortunately, we will have people out there, but I'm not going to be there. But we will. I wish you were there.
I would give you a big hug, man. But I will see you. I will see you around. So
you will see me. I promise.
It's an honor to talk to you again. And guys, I love you all. And it's hard. It's hard. I still have to digest. I'm not sad, you know. I'm very happy. Very happy to be back to family. You know who is the happiest person? Because of I'm retired. My mom. She's super happy. Because yeah, it's so funny. And I'm happy. And everyone is like, when like people meet me or family members or our friends, they're like, congrats. How are you feeling? And then I'm happy. You know, she's the happiest person in the world right now. You know that her lovely daughter retired from this brutal sport. You know, but I'm always going to be a child for my mom. You know, even I'm taking care of them. She's the happiest person. But guys, believe in yourself, and I will be around. I love you. I love you all, and I can't wait to see you at the International Fight Week and all the UFC events.
Absolutely, Ioana. Thank you as always for the time. I can't wait to speak to you again in the future. Safe travels over to Las Vegas, and as I said, we will speak again soon. I'm sure.
I will put lots of cameras into my car, on my car, so I will share the videos with you, and you will see me competing, but in the racing car as a driver.
I can't wait, Ioana. We'll talk soon, okay?
Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
A big thank you, of course, to the legend, Ioana Jędrzejczyk. I am truly honored that she gave me her first interview after deciding to call it a career. Look forward to whatever she has else going on in the world. Of course, we talked about race car driving. She, of course, was at International Fight Week last week at UFC X, signing autographs, taking photos, and making an appearance at the event. I'm quite sure we're going to see a lot of her. She also mentioned, of course, moving into the management side of business. Few people, I would imagine, know this sport better than someone like Ioana. So look forward to whatever she has going on in the future. Our second interview of the day is an interview that I dropped a matter of days ago, again, on video. This is the first version on podcast, and that is with Jorge Masvidal, who, of course, is one of the busiest guys in the sport beyond his own fight career. He's now a promoter with his own couple of promotions, Gamebred FC and Icon FC. And Icon FC is going to be going to Georgia for the first time in August. So we talk about his plans to debut in Georgia, but also, of course, catching up with Jorge about what's next with him. We talk Conor McGregor. We talk Gilbert Burns. We talk Leon Edwards. We talk a lot of stuff. So enjoy this interview with Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. He is the first and only ever UFC BMF champion. He's also the man who will bring Icon FC to Savannah, Georgia on August 5th, turning into a promoter too, man, on top of everything else. Jorge, Gamebred, Masvidal. Jorge, how are you?
Very good, my brother. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you for taking time to chat with me. Of course, I just mentioned you're bringing your promotion, Icon FC, to Savannah, Georgia, coming up on August 5th. How did Georgia become a destination? Was this something you always had in your mind? How did this one happen?
This one, not always wanted to do shows in Georgia. It's like our sister state. But one thing led to another. We were looking for venues, and we found some great venues in Savannah, Georgia. We started doing more research. People here are red-blooded. They're, you know, they want to see fights. They want that action, you know. So we did a little bit more research. We put some fillers out there, and we're like, man, this market's going to be great. And so far up to date, we're like 40% sold out on the tables already. We're moving great. You know, it's looking good for us.
Yeah. How has promoter life been for you, Jorge? I mean, I know you wear a lot of hats. You know, you're a fighter, of course. You know, first and foremost, you're a father. You've been around the sport forever. Training partner, coach, all these different things you do. But how is promoter? How do you enjoy being a promoter?
Shout out to American Top Team because we crushed it last night on Bellator. And I was more of a teammate in that aspect. But yeah, I've worn all the hats in fighting, maybe except actually be a cut man. Other than that, I've worn every other hat. You know, I love it. I love to fight. Since I got into fighting, I always thought, not in the initial stages, but after some time, and I was like, man, I would like to have a promotion to treat fighters a certain way. Take some of these things out, add some of these things in there, and keep it going. And, you know, the opportunity came. I partnered up with some great partners to run these events. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a full blast, just like fighting. I'm going to put everything that I got into it. I'm going to take out a lot of the things that I didn't like personally as a fighter having to go through, and try to make it as easy as possible for these guys, get them as much exposure and pay them, you know, as much as we possibly can at that stage.
It's funny. I talked to some of the guys who fought for Khabib over in Eagle FC, and they say that, you know, fighting for a fighter is a different feeling than just fighting for a promoter. Now, it's not to take away what the UFC has done, Dana White, guys like that, but they say fighting for a fighter is different because you know what they go through, whether we're talking about the weight cut, the travel, the fight week stuff, media, whatever it is. Like, they say it's a different feeling fighting for a fighter. Is that, have you kind of experienced that well as a promoter? Like, it's a different role having a fighter as your promoter versus just some business guy.
1,000,000%. Like, these guys know I lived it day and night. I only got here because of these. I didn't get here because I was great at posting pictures on Twitter and things like that. No, I got here because of these. So these guys know when I tell them, hey, before you go out there, go get your 15 seconds of fame if you want it. You know, it's there for you to take. You snatch somebody's soul away. People are talking about it on Monday morning. You're on the paper, Dean Martin's interview, and the ball just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and you just never know, guys. So when they hear like these words from me, they know, like, man, this guy really lived it. This came from street fighting to where he's at now. So it's not rocket science to them, you know. And I love it because a lot of the guys will come up to me and like, man, I know you're gonna be watching. I'm gonna put on the show. I'm gonna be the face of this promotion. And I love to hear. And it's just that fighter to fighter energy, you know. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. To that point, I mean, you are scouting, you know, and bringing in guys who are going to be the next big thing. Of course, your last card, everyone was talking about Bo Nickel. I know that's a guy you know very well. I've interviewed Bo a couple. I actually interviewed him before that fight. Phenomenal prospect. How fun is it for that part of it? Like, scouting these prospects, bringing guys in to fight on the card who could be the next, you know, the next Jorge Masvidal, you know, potentially.
That's very fun. You know, we have a very close niche team that we've been in the space of MMA for a while. It's like four of us that have kind of grown up together, me and fighting them as managers, promoters, all types of things. So we sit together and we start to go through tape, and, you know, Dean Martin says he likes so-and-so, and Masvidal's like, I don't really like this guy. And then the other guy's like, yeah, I really like this guy. And then we bring him on the show, and then it's like, who was right, who was wrong? So it's definitely amazing. It's kind of like a fantasy football league, but of great fighters that are making a great stable make. So the scouting of the talent, it's fun, you know. It's like a bunch of us sitting together just like, hey, I like this guy, I like that guy. If we're not together or something, we're just sending videos to each other. Hey, check out this knockout. Hey, check out this guy, what he said in the interview, what do you think, you know. So the process is very organic, and it's what I love to do the most in the world. It's fighting and watching fights, so it comes pretty natural.
Yeah, I know from watching your interview you did a little while back with Ariel, where you talked about, like, you know, some people who do businesses, you're just a figurehead. You're just there to sell because, you know, you're the name. But in your case, you said you put your hands in everything, from the matchmaking to picking the fighters to promoting. You are like a full-on promoter in this event. Has that been enjoyable? Have you learned, you know, kind of in your own role, because you've been doing a lot of different things. From my understanding at Icon FC, you do a lot of different things. Like, you're not just there to be the face of the organization. You're doing the matchmaking. You're doing the picking the fighters. You're helping promote the event. Like, it's a lot of hats you're wearing inside the promotion.
Oh, definitely. Right here, we're in Savannah, Georgia, and all day long, I'll just be promoting. I'm going to go to the event, have like another 5-6 interviews. I already did like 3 radio stations here in Savannah. I'm going to go some local channels now. So it's constantly, you know, you're working. I could just sit back and collect the check and just, hey, you guys put my name on it, but then I wouldn't want my name on it. You get what I'm saying? Because if the fights are shitty, if you didn't like the fights, Dean, and the fights are lackluster, we see that the card is completely one-sided and it's not the type of fights that you want to see, I'm not going to want to be a part of that, you know? So it's very easy. You guys want me a part of this? I have to have a lot of saying it, you know? It's not that I pick every single fight from the prelims on, but every fight in the main card, I have something to do with it. It gets brought to me. Is it, what do you think about so-and-so versus so-and-so? Hey, how about this for the co-main event or the main event? And all of that, I have a good amount of input in every single fight, you know, as well as bringing in sponsors, being able to help guys out. That's something that I try to do a lot, just because I'm a fighter. I know that, hey, I could go fight so-and-so show and make XYZ, or I could go fight in so-and-so show and make XYZ plus some sponsorships. They're going to come over here. On top of that, we're sending a lot of guys at an alarming rate to the big leagues. Guys are just signing up, and we're still scouting every day looking for the country's best talent, but it gets easier when they're just sending me their tapes, sending me their videos, sending me their records, sending me, hey, I would love to fight with you. I saw the last fight card. I see where those guys are right now. How do I get involved in Icon? And that is like, it's just a snowball effect now, right? Now I got some of the best guys in the country just coming at us, wanting to fight for me.
Absolutely. Now, I know you have a lot of prospects I mentioned, but I saw in this card you're also going to be booking Joe Schilling. A lot of people, of course, know Joe Schilling, a legend of the sport, kickboxing legend, just all-around legend. How did that happen? How did Joe Schilling end up here?
Well, initially, we wanted Joe Schilling to fight for Gamebred FC bare knuckle, but believe it or not, like 6 months later, we had to give up on that dream because nobody wants to fight Joe Schilling bare knuckle. It wasn't easy. And the price tag that people, you know, the ones that kind of considered the fight Joe Schilling bare knuckle was unfeasible. It wasn't something that we could do or want to do. It wouldn't be a good business plan. So we kept talking to Joe, and we're like, hey, how about, you know, gloved, you know, it might be easy to find your fight. Wrong. Still very hard to fight Joe. Fight, man. We've had 4 guys drop out. We had 2 guys that had official bouts signed. Things happened. They dropped out. So if any of the fighters out there hearing this and you'd like to fight Joe Schilling, you know, give Icon FC a shout.
Yeah, I mean, talk about an opportunity. Listen, we know it's not an easy fight by any stretch of the imagination, but still, what an opportunity, right? Joe Schilling's a huge name. Like, that would be a great opportunity. Like, take your shot. I know you're a guy who never turned down fights. Like, that's what you got to do. You got to take those risks, right? Like, you got to fight. If you want to build a name, fight a guy like Joe Schilling.
Besides, I'm going to do myself a disfavor, but, you know, in this announcement I'm about to make, but find a guy like Joe Schilling. It's not like you had one of these wrestlers that took you down and laid on you for 3 rounds and 15 minutes just hug the crap. Now you find Joe Schilling, your legs are going to be very sore. You're probably not going to be able to walk too well the next day. Might have a broken eye orbit or some broken jaw or something, you know. So it's not easy to match make these guys, but it's a fight game, man. There'll be somebody out there be like, yeah, they'll hear this right now and be like, yeah, I could fight Joe. Let's go.
Yeah. Let me ask real quick. I mentioned, I don't want to take the attention away from the Savannah card, but I mentioned, of course, Bo Nickel on the last card. Huge knockout. Bo might be the best prospect in the sport right now. I mean, period. Like, he may be the best prospect in mixed martial arts right now. Will you have Bo back in a future show? Is there a plan to have him back on Icon FC?
If I could have Bo fighting at all the Icons FCs, no brainer. But Bo's a special case. Guys like Bo don't come out often. I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to Bo for much longer until he gets called up to the big leagues, you know? Just a matter of time. If I know there's some things in place already for some organizations. Everybody's been tossing numbers at him since he's gone pro. So it's really up to Bo, you know? Me personally, if I could get him for another 10 fights, I'd love that, you know? But chances are we won't be seeing Bo maybe 1 more in Icon, 2 more in Icon, and then he's off, man. And to think that he's only 1-0 as a pro, that's the really crazy part. He's just 1 fight as a pro.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, you've worked with him at American Top Team, so you know how good this kid is. I mean, this kid's a phenom.
I mean, I want to say I was, when Bo's first days of MMA were on the mat, I was there with him, you know, grappling with him, you know, working a little bit of striking. And, I mean, the grappling is just side of this world, man. That his style, too, because he you know, a lot of collegiate guys are very good at taking guys down and controlling. But, you know, when you get, like, the number one in the country versus the number two, you always don't see that disparity of that man handling with number one or get number two and take him down, hold him down, pin him. Bo was that guy in wrestling, you know, has the most pins at his weight class season after season. I think he led the country in pins as well. So it just shows like his work rate and his attrition, not a guy that fades in overtime either. So I really think he's going to be hell, man, for a lot of guys at 185. He's going to be the type of guy that he took you down once, and that's all she wrote. You know, he might either submit you or just that whole round you lost because you're not getting away from this guy, you know. Mixed in with the hands that he's starting to develop because the kid has natural power. I worked out with him a lot. From all the wrestling, I guess, man, he's just like this dense fucking little white gorilla. He hits, it hurts, man. You know, so, oh, man, Bo's a problem. I've been talking about Bo for a while. The last guy that I was prophesizing since an amateur just became a world champion yesterday, Johnny Eblen in Bellator. I was telling everybody about Johnny Eblen since his amateur days. I was telling you, keep your eye on this guy. Keep your eye on this guy. It takes a lot to be a world champion. Luck is definitely a factor in being a world champion. So I don't ever like to just look at somebody and be like, that guy's going to be a world champion. But I do know the qualities that it takes to be a world champion, the type of speed, power, mindset, things like that, you know. I'm telling you, Bo could definitely be a world champion in maybe two weight classes as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned Johnny Eblen. I saw Mike Brown's post about him where he told him, you know, quit your job, come live on my couch and become a full-time fighter. And now here he is, a freaking champion, you know, 11 fights in. It's pretty crazy. That kid's got all kinds of talent. And I agree. I think Bo Nickel's got that kind of talent. I'm super high on him. I think he has got a very, very bright future ahead of him.
Very, very bright future. Doesn't get tired. Has crazy power and truly a student of the game. I pull Bo aside. He has like no ego. Like, hey, man, try this, try that. He's like, let me try. And like right away, no ego. And I see why he's gotten so far, because he's not the type of guy that's like, all right, 30-time national champion, I know everything. No, even in the sport of wrestling, he doesn't know everything there is to know. You know, so it's amazing. I'm going to get to see his journey from amateur. I've been watching Bo since his collegiate days all the way now to pro, you know, and wherever else he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Jorge, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about yourself.
Another guy. We got a heavyweight also that we sent to the UFC, Hamdi, 4 knockouts. Also, a Gamebred Promotions guy. He fought in GFC, Gamebred Fighting Promotions, fight an icon, standout. He's a Egyptian national Greco champion that doesn't like to wrestle, has natural powers, knocking everybody out, and he's off to the UFC, man. His contract signed. So that's another killer that we sent off. Another big prospect, you know. That's what kind of sucks with these guys. I make these big prospects and then I gotta cut them loose, you know.
Yeah, but there's got to be a lot of pride there, right? Like, bring him up and see him succeed and then, you know, watch them succeed in the UFC. You're fighting right alongside him. Like, that's pretty amazing.
That definitely. It's amazing, you know. And now I'm going to be watching Bo and Hamdi with a microscope, you know, as they go through their whole career in the UFC. And just to be like, wow, fucking, that's amazing. I've been, you know, witness to that whole journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Jorge, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about yourself. Of course, everyone is very excited about when you're going to fight again. I know there's been lots of talk. I know you mentioned, you know, when you're hoping to come back, looking at some potential matchups out there. I know I'm not going to say that you've signed anything right now, but like, where are we at right now? Because I know everyone's buzzed. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. You know as well as I do. Everyone's buzzed about the Conor fight. Everyone wants the Conor fight. Does Conor want to fight? That's the problem, right? Like that.
No, Conor doesn't want to fight. If he did, he'd post something. He'd say something. He'll probably just insult my mom or some relative of mine or my nation where I come from. He'll say something like that, but he won't say anything about a fight or a fight date. So the Conor thing is like, he just wants it to like, I just hope it goes away because he really doesn't want to fight. He doesn't mention, doesn't say anything. Obviously, it's maybe the biggest pay-per-view fight in history as far as UFC goes. I think we'd shatter all numbers, all previous records, but this guy for some reason doesn't entertain him. You know, money doesn't entertain him no more, make him want to get out of his bed. I think the only thing that makes him want to get out of his bed is cocaine, and that's okay. Every man has a free will. You can do whatever you want, but don't say you're a fighter and then don't take cheap shots at me too, you know, especially the things that he'd be saying, talking about my legal problems and this and that. Like, you're a fucking pussy. We could do a man-to-man in the cage and just once and for all figure it out and get paid a handsome reward while doing it. So that this individual doesn't want to do it lets you know he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's such a big fight, and it's one of those things where you're kind of like, how would you not be interested? Like, I get it from the fight aspect. Like, of course, the danger of fighting Jorge Masvidal is there. We know that. But, I mean, payday-wise, I don't know that there's a bigger fight. Like, I understand the rivalry with Nate Diaz, but that's just not the same fight it was 6 years ago. You and Connor at this point in your careers, that's a monstrous fight. Like, that would be a huge pay-per-view. But again, like you said, maybe the risk is not worth the reward of the money. I don't know.
And it's also the branding, the style of fight that I am. I'm not going to take him down and hold him down. I'm going to get in his face. I'm going to break his jaw. And that's not going to look good for his brand. Connor got beat up on the feet. Connor got outstruck. Yeah, it doesn't sit well with him or his team. But if it did, you'd shortly hear him say something back to this or something, you know, because everybody's going to be sending this interview. What is he going to do?
Yeah. Did you hear the rumor that they were talking about maybe him doing the rematch with Floyd? Did you hear this rumor?
No, I didn't hear this rumor.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. I heard the rumor because he posted something on Instagram like, I accept. And there was this rumor. I was like, do we really need to see that again? Like, again, really? Do we need to see that again? I mean, I'm never going to fault anyone for making money. I promise you. Like, if he wants to go make money, you know.
But making money, like, are people going to want to see Floyd and Connor again? Like, are people going to shell out $85 to see that? Especially now with inflation and all the crazy shit going on in the country. I think they would rather save it for the gas pump.
Yeah, I agree. Now, with the Connor fight, now that's just a massive fight. We all know. It's the fight that the entire world would tune in to watch. But I know another guy that has mentioned your name, very respectful, and I did an interview with him a couple weeks ago, could not have said nicer things about you in terms of wanting to fight as Gilbert Burns. You know, it's kind of like the complete polar opposite of Connor. Gilbert has been praising you, and he said, I'll sign the contract, no takedowns, let's go, let's have a fun fight. Does Gilbert Burns interest you?
No. I don't want Gilbert to sign no contracts. There's no takedowns. Do your game, my brother. Do what's got in you here. I know he's a world champion in BJJ. I'm trying to work on my grappling always to get it better. So do everything that God has allowed you to do and bless you to do. Definitely a fight that interests me. Before the Conor fight came up, that's the one that called me out. And I was like, man, this is a guy that comes to fight. Not the whole world doesn't know him, but they will, because man, he comes to fight. He's either going to try to choke you out, knock you out, and just has a good style. I like to fight. Once some of these legal issues that I got going on kind of, you know, then I'm setting a date. That's another reason why we're not setting dates right now, because I just got to figure out some things, you know, and then we'll lock it in, you know.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see you back before the end of the year?
That is my goal. Is definitely to be back before the end of the year. So we got to put all our ducks in a row, make sure everything is correct. Some things are like slightly out of my hand. So I can't say 100% I'll be competing this year, but if it's up to me, 100% I'm competing this year.
Yeah. Now I know you already mentioned somebody in another interview, so I won't make you rehash what you said. Of course you heard Leon Edwards say, if he becomes champion, he wants to defend the title against you. And of course you're going to take that fight. Why wouldn't you take that fight? That's, you know, a no-brainer. But can I ask your opinion? Do you see Leon beating Kamaru Usman? That's the better question. Like, I know you would take the Leon Edwards fight, but do you actually see him beating Kamaru Usman?
I don't, to tell you the truth. I think it's a fight. Anything could happen. There's no 1,000% winning for anybody, I believe, in this. I don't care even if they're undefeated. It's just a matter of time in a way. I think that Usman wins more times than Leon wins if they were to fight five times. You know, he's a little bit more complete. And I think at the end of it, just the wrestling, it'll come down to the wrestling, really, to tell you the truth. I think on the feet, Leon's a little bit more polished, maybe better setups, more variety of attacks. But Usman's wrestling, I think he'll keep Leon honest, so where he won't open up how you usually win a lot of guys. I see Usman money.
Yeah, they always say styles make fights, and I mean this with the utmost respect. Like you and Nate Diaz, I love Nate. Nate's, you know, been around the sport, all these kind of things. I think you will always be a bad matchup for Nate Diaz. I don't care what Nate Diaz does between now and infinity. You'll never be a good matchup for him. And I kind of think the same thing about Leon. I like Leon. I know a lot of people dislike Leon. I like Leon. Stylistically, though, I think you're a bad matchup for him, and I think that's going to be a bad matchup whether it's now, today, tomorrow, next week, next month. Like, I feel like I would still like to see that fight, but I feel like you're always going to be kind of a bad matchup for Leon Edwards.
Yeah, I think naturally I'm just faster than him. Though I'm smaller than him, I have more power. We find a lot of common opponents, and he couldn't do anything to him but, you know, give him a split decision. You know, I put those same guys in stretches, so, you know, I do very well with the strikers, as everybody knows. It's like those high-end wrestlers, those guys that they've wrestled since they're 7 years old. They could take me out of my comfort zone, put me on my back, and not allow me to use all my tools where I have some problems, you know. Leon's not that guy. He doesn't have that next-level wrestling or endurance. I don't see him. I know he takes a lot of guys down, but the caliber of takedowns and the opponents that he does it to, it's not me, you know. So I don't see his grappling being a problem for me, and the striking, I welcome it. Let's find out. Let's go.
Yeah, I know you talk a lot about working on your wrestling and grappling. You probably don't remember this, Jorge, but a few years ago, I was down at American Top Team. I was doing some stuff with Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and I was at a grappling session during the pro day, and I saw you grapple with Shoeface, Antonio Carlos Jr. It was a full grapple, and that was a fun grappling session. Like, there was no, like, to be clear, Shoeface is a huge guy. Like, he's a monstrous guy. So people like to give you grief for, like, grappling and wrestling, but you actually have very legit grappling and wrestling. Like, listen, there's no fault in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw you grapple one of the best grapplers in the world, and it was fun. Like, you guys were scrambling, you guys were scrapping. It was a lot of fun. So I know you're working on it, but I'm just saying, like, it's not like, you know, it's this huge detriment. You've got those skills, you know, again, I'm just saying, not you need me to defend you, but I'm just saying.
And it's not like I started doing this like a fight or two ago. I've always worked on my grappling because I've always known, God bless me with hands, reflexes, and just natural endurance for striking. For wrestling, since the first day I got on the mat till today, I've always known I don't have those same gifts and abilities in wrestling. So I've always put more time in wrestling and jiu-jitsu because I know if a guy takes me off my feet, I can't use my God-given tools anymore. So I've always put in tremendous amount of work with good grapplers like Shoeface, which is the PFL 205 champ, you know. Down at the gym, guys like Bo Nickel, that's bigger than me, it's not even competitive with me. Whenever there's a great grappler in ATT, and we get him by the tons, you know. We got Gamrot right now coming up to fight Armand for the main event, and Gamrot's a heavy wrestler. Guess who was helping him out for this fight camp? Me. You know, I was working out with Johnny Eblen a lot to imitate Gegard Mousasi. And Johnny was just using his style that he was going to use in a fight. Punch, punch, get to a takedown, slam him on your head, keep punching, you know. So I'm constantly in the grappling. I actually grapple maybe 60, 70% of my gym time is spent just grappling, whether it be offense or defense, just to get better at there. So it's one of those things that it's a work in progress.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're always busy, Jorge, and of course with the you've also got some grappling stuff coming up. You're got a grappling team coming up, don't you? Is that's coming up too, right?
Yeah. Speaking of Bo, he's one of my grapplers. So is Enrique Coco, Miami, Florida native guy. Man, I grew up with this kid, man. He is phenomenal grappler, submissions from everywhere. Like, man, this dude's special with the submissions. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. PJ Bartz is also on our team, and we got one more guy, but his name is slipping me right now.
Is it Craig Jones? Is that the one?
Craig Jones. How could I forget? You get mad at me, Craig. Yeah, Craig Jones, man. I got these four killers. I'm just going to stick them loose on the world.
Bo Nickel and Craig Jones on the same team. That's kind of scary, Jorge. Like, that's a little terrifying for the grapplers out there. Those two are nasty.
And I think since the last time that people saw just Bo straight grappling to now, They might find him, obviously, still going to have the powerhouse takedowns, out-scramble anybody, endurance to the roof. But he has, without saying too much, he has added some pretty damn good submissions to his arsenal where he's just been drilling them day and night, night and day. And then I go with him, I'm like, bro, you're not the same guy you were 7, 8 months ago, you know? And obviously, if we're talking about position, elite wrestlers like Bo have the best position. Like, they're just going to end up on top more times than not. You know, they're going to be able to out-scramble everybody, get on top. Now it's him learning that top game, how to not get caught while navigating through the guard, and then continue to apply that pressure. So I think Bo's going to make some heads turn again at the grappling event.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jorge, we all look forward to you fighting again. As a guy who's covered your career going back many, many, many years, I always look forward to you fighting. That being said, I'm glad you got all these other things going on, because you're never not busy. You've got all the promotion things you're doing. You got Icon FC coming up in August. You got the grappling thing coming up in a matter of days. Whether you're fighting or not, we're always going to be watching. And I guess that's the most important part, right? We're always going to be paying attention to whatever Jorge Masvidal does.
Thank you, my brother. August 5th, you're about to see the nation's best throwdown, and we're going to find out who's going to be the next guy to go on and get world titles, break faces and stuff. So I love this sport, and this sport loves me. You know, it's like we're yin and yang in this sport. This sport is me and I'm the sport, you know.
I love it. Jorge, thank you again for the time. I really do appreciate it. Look forward to the card on August 5th, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure, man. Have a good one.
A big thank you again to Jorge Masvidal. Of course, also a big thank you to his American Top Team teammate, Joanna Janjacek, for being on the show. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week with a regular show with guests and everything like that. Also, to kind of give you guys a heads up, later in July, there will be a two-week gap without Fighter versus Rider. I'm actually taking a vacation for the first time in about 3 years. Pretty excited about that. Going to San Diego Comic-Con for about a week, and I'm going to be off for a couple weeks from work. So stay tuned. That will be at the end of July. But for now, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program next week with a regular episode of Fighter versus Rider, breaking things down and talking to fighters leading into a couple more big events coming up. Of course, Ortega versus Rodriguez is coming up, the show on ABC, and of course, the UFC London card. And we will have Curtis Blaydes back as a co-host for one of those episodes to preview his fight coming up with Tom Aspinall. So make sure you're tuning in for both of those episodes coming up in the very near future. A big thank you once again to Jorge Masvidal. A big thank you again to Joanna Janjacek for the interviews. I definitely appreciate that. And we will see you guys next week with another edition of The Fighter versus The Rider. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.